We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Imagine you're sitting at home watching TV and, hey, look at that, a police chase. You better believe you're stopping and watching that, right? That's something that most people would view. It's the reason why I think the television networks actually still own choppers. Why else would Fox 2 have a chopper if it wasn't for an occasional police chase? You know, it's nice to see the aerial shots and whatnot, but still, that thing pays for itself. You're not changing the TV when there's a police chase. And it actually helped catch the suspects this time. Can you believe it? The Fox 2 chopper. Whoa, do you see that story?
Driving a reported stolen car from Maryland Heights, the 16 and 18-year-old suspects inside were also reported to have invaded a Cahokia home.
Yeah.
DuPo Police Chief Kevin Smith said he and one of his off-duty officers joined in the chase, but thought they lost the suspects after crossing the JB Bridge.
By Lindbergh, we terminated the pursuit due to the traffic. At which time we turned our lights and sirens off and just kind of fell back. The
vehicle. All right, so at that point, that happens. It's pretty typical when it comes to police chases. There's certain protocol in place. You could very aggressively follow and stay behind someone that is pursuing and chase. But, you know, there's that other story that popped up just today, was it? Where there's a wrongful death lawsuit against police because of a police chase through St. Charles, where they say the police were not following protocol, following too closely. I don't know if that's true or not, but at least the family is saying that's true. And they're suing the police for wrongful death because an innocent bystander, someone driving, was killed as part of that pursuit. It's sad. I don't think you can blame the police in a situation like that. It's the same situation where if a police officer goes to a hostage situation, or let's say someone has a gun and they're in a business or whatever it is, and the person has a gun and the police confront the person, and the suspect fires and accidentally shoots someone else when he was aiming for the police or whatever it was. And then they'll say, well, it's your fault for showing up as the police. You know, this is pretty terrible. Even if the police are trying to stop someone who's actively shooting and they accidentally shoot a bystander and that's not their target by any means, you know, the person is responsible, is the one that was called upon, the suspect, the one that was out there trying to cause that confrontation to begin with. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to these police chases. The person that's responsible is the one that initiates the police chase. I really believe that. So let's go back to this one in particular. On Fox 2, you hear the story, police chase, SUV, or was it a van? I think it was a van flying through, going all over the place, driving crazy. And the police decide to drop back a little bit, kind of watch it, but not stay right on the tail of this police chase suspect.
Who was spotted. And the pursuit ensued.
That's when Chief Smith said another of his off-duty officers radioed. He was watching what we could see from Bomarito Automotive Skyfox.
Oh.
My off-duty sergeant, Ryan Corbin, got on the radio and started playing out where the suspect vehicle was at.
Oh, so he's watching from home, and he's giving on the radio updates to the police. The police don't have a chopper up at this point. Fox 2's following this thing around. And as the police are dropping back, you know, they're trying to keep an eye and follow this suspect, but eventually, you know, they could turn and you might miss it or whatever it is, and they could lose visual on that suspect that's with the police chase. Not if you have a sergeant sitting at home watching it on the Fox 2 chopper and giving them play-by-play to know exactly where the guy is. How cool is that?
Based on watching Fox 2 News.
Yeah. Fox 2 News getting a big pat on the back from police. That's awesome.
I actually thought he was in the area assisting us, even though he's off duty. And then when they said that, like, they're passing the Golden Corral, I knew the Golden Corral was right up the road, so I know I was going to get right back to it.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows where the Golden Corral is. If you want to know, if you just say Golden Corral, you're like, I'm there. You already know where it's at.
To him.
He said his officer stayed with him, giving him the play-by-play as the suspects ran out of gas and took off through backyards in South County.
Arms up, and you're under arrest.
That's Chief Smith arresting one of the suspects.
What's on the ground? Arms up, and he's under arrest. And then when they were done with that, I don't know if they put this as part of the story, but they ran into the Golden Corral and they got a couple slices of bacon, put it under the chocolate fondue fountain. That's what they do there.
That's Chief Smith arresting one of the suspects.
Oh, hold on. Wait, where was it at?
Gas and took off through backyards in South County.
Arms up and you're under arrest.
I like that. That's a pretty simple.
Arms up and you're under arrest.
That's how many times you hear that in your life, Producer Mike? A lot.
Arms up and you're under arrest.
Three, four, five times? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Arms up and you're under arrest.
That's almost like a workout, isn't it? Arms up, arms down. He's like a yoga instructor. He knows what he's doing with something like that.
That's Chief Smith arresting one of the suspects.
No kidding.
If it wasn't for Fox 2, I don't think that these suspects would have been taken into custody this quick.
Good for them. Where was the police chopper? You're paying taxes. They have the chopper. Why wasn't the chopper there following this thing? Come on now. Well, that's okay. It all worked out in the end. You know what I like? I like that Fox 2 was used as a tool for the police to catch this person. And you know what? The way they were showing this footage, zooming in and out, and then they're out and they run, and they do catch at least one of the suspects. The story mentions they get at least one. Hey, look what's on right now. Golden Corral commercial. What channel is that? They must have known we were talking about it. Sirloin and seafood for a limited time. Huh. I wonder if that is Fox 2. Wouldn't that be one of the craziest product placement endorsements? Like that, if Golden Corral paid them for the placement of that as part of the news story and then had an ad buy after it. Ooh, giant conspiracy here. Is this Fox 2 on this TV here? It is Fox 2! Big plug from the police and one of their sponsors. Free advertising on KMOX as well. Man, let's go dip something in the fondue. Do they still have the fondue fountain? Let's go dip something in the fondue. That should be their slogan. Golden Corral. Let's go dip something in the fondue. Honey, we're going to Golden Corral. Let's go dip something in the fondue. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what everyone does, right? Honey, get the kid. Go ahead. Just stick your hand in there. Just stick your hand in there for the road. We'll take it back. Just lick your hand all the way back. Oh, man. I don't know. Can you trust those things? I feel there's a few things in life that you say pass on. And the fondue fountain at Golden Corral's a pass for me. But I haven't been there in a long time. Does it sterilize it with it going up and down? And you know, as eventually when it like recirculates the chocolate, is the heat sterilize it or not? I don't know. You can put it. Oh, loser has to eat a complete meal of fondue food. So like, I'm gonna take the fried chicken and let me get a piece of that steak and some shrimp and take it over to the fondue and dip it in. That's a great way to get kicked out. You want to do that? That could be our bet. We can go to Golden Corral and dip everything in the fondue fountain. Ew. I don't know exactly what the procedure is there. But if that's even legal or not, they're going to call the police on us. They'll call Fox 2 first, and then Fox 2 will tip off the police, and then the police will show up and say, you're not allowed to dip all that stuff. Oh, what a great product placement. But that was the story. The off-duty officer just happened to be watching TV when there's a police chase radioing in the aerial view. I thought that was just really cool. This is Overnight America, KMOX. The fondue song. Welcome back to Overnight America. I don't know that for sure. It could be. I'm not saying it's not. 314-436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. The rise of anti-Semitism, and we're seeing it in our own Congress, which is actually pretty scary. America's rabbi is going to be joining us in the next segment, a little after 12:30. R.E.A. Spiro, you may have seen him. He's all over the place. He's a frequent contributor to the major news networks. So we're going to talk to him about that. He has some pretty strong things to say in how the Jewish community is pretty upset with the way the Democrat Party right now is handling some of their own congressmen and women that are talking the way they're talking. Let me get to Mike calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How are you doing? I just happened to hear you talk about that Fox the undercover cop, and you mentioned one of my favorite restaurants, Golden Corral. We go through a lot.
How often is a lot?
Oh, as much as possible. But on Tuesdays, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
If you get there a certain time and their food's good, your kid would love it, especially that dessert with them gummies and candy and all that junk.
How much is it for an adult?
Well, if you go on like Saturday and Sunday, it's more expensive. It's because it's dinner all day,
mm-hmm.
about $16. Unless you're a senior, you get a little cheaper,
mm-hmm.
or you get a discount. But if you go like on Tuesday, like 4:00, it's about $8 something.
Oh, that's not bad actually. That's really good. All right, so when you're there, do they still have the fondue fountain, or is that something they only did for a little time?
Yeah, I think so. You mean where the fudge and dessert? They got dessert. They got real good meatloaf and everything. And just kidding you. Since you like to eat, and this is just teasing you, but since you're cheap, it's a good place for you to eat. You could eat a lot and be cheap.
Yeah, no, I'm just as fine going to a dollar menu at a fast food place and filling up, and I'll spend less than $8.
All right, but go to Corral, you get a lot of choice. Good meatloaf, a lot of good chicken.
So you go just for the meatloaf?
Oh, no, we go to church, people. We enjoy it because you get to eat all you can eat.
Do they frown when you try to put something underneath that fondue fountain?
I don't think so, as long as you're safe. A lot of kids make a mess. Of course, they know what you make. But yeah, it's a nice place. But anyway, about that cop real quick.
Yeah.
That on that box. It made me think of something funny, like RoboCop. How come they don't have some robot cops undercover?
I thought you said Bobo Cop.
No, robot. Robot.
Bobo Cop would be great. You need to come up with a Bobo Cop skit. I would love to hear that. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right. How would Bobo Cop work? Oh, I would love it. Bobo Cop. We need to do a skit on that. That's hilarious. I swear he said Bobo Cop. Ooh, boy. It's good to laugh again, isn't it? Oh, do you see the Woodstock has a new lineup out? Woodstock 50. 3 days of peace, love, and music, I'm sure. 3 days of $10 bottled waters, people running out of food and urinating on the ground. I mean, that's what Woodstock essentially is. It's mid-August in New York, not at the same site as the original Woodstock. And I'm looking at some of the big acts. So the first day, the Friday, is The Killers, the headliner, followed by, and I'm going to go in reverse order. So they're the biggest name. Then Miley Cyrus, Santana, which I didn't know he still played music. I mean, he hasn't really done anything in a long time, but of course, he's one of those legacy guitar players. Well-loved. The Lumineers, Rock on Tours, then Robert Plant and Nathaniel Radcliffe. He's a local guy. Isn't he here from Missouri? He's from this region, isn't he? That's really cool. Yeah. And John Fogerty there, too. Okay, after that, you have, on day two, Dead & Company. I've never heard of them, but they're the headliner. Then Chance the Rapper, Black Keys, Sturgill Simpson, never heard of that either. Greta Van Fleet is the one that, the only reason I know them is because the Grammys were just recently and they were up for one and people were talking about them. I don't know what their music sounds like. And then a bunch of names, I don't know anything after that. I don't see anything other than that. There's a band called Soccer Mommy on there. It's a weird name for a band. And then day three, Sunday, August 18th, the headliner is Jay-Z. So the Sunday night, biggest one, followed by Imagine Dragons, Halsey, don't know them, Cage the Elephant, don't know them, and then a bunch of other bands I don't know either. So there's not a lot of older bands in there. I guess the Zombies are there. Are they still alive? Canned Heat? Wait a minute. So that Sunday, the Zombies and Canned Heat are going to be playing back to back. Are they purposely trying to throw in some of these old legacy bands that may have performed and been around when the original Woodstock was going down? But that's it. I mean, there's really not a lot of bands that people, I think, are going to get all that excited about. So that was just announced. The website's woodstock.com. Yeah, I don't think anyone here is going to go. Like, anyone listening to the show actually going to Woodstock? I feel like everyone here is a convenience kind of person. I'm such a convenience guy. I'm too lazy to want to go somewhere and camp out for 3 days with a bunch of smelly hippies that I know are going to be using the bathroom on the ground and trying to sell you bottled water for $10 a pop and $20 hot dogs or whatever. And then you're a bunch of people that you know is going to turn violent. Someone's going to set something on fire. Someone's going to start shoving and fighting, and who knows? No thanks. I'm just going to skip that altogether. So, plus I don't listen to music really enough to care about any of this stuff. Maybe when I was younger, something like that would have been appealing, but not really. There's a story from Fox News not that long ago. So Jewish voters are furious at the Democrats' defense of Representative Omar, which you may or may not have seen some of the anti-Semitic comments that have been coming out of Congress as of late. And it's pretty blatant, and it's actually pretty sad. But the way we're seeing the argument phrased anymore from the Democrat Party, it's not that, oh, we're going to condemn this sort of anti-Semitic rhetoric and talk that we see from our representatives, openly from our representatives. They're flipping it and they're saying, well, the only reason you look at it as anti-Semitic is because you're Islamophobic. That's how they're spinning this right now. You can take their exact words, look at them and say, yep, that's not good. And instead of what a rational person would say is, you better take that back, or, you know, say you didn't mean it that way, or put some context around it, or better yet, just delete it and apologize. I didn't mean it that, whatever. Instead, they double down and they stand on these things. And then they try to say, oh, that's actually your fault because you're Islamophobic. So here's one of the representatives in question, Representative Tlaib.
The fact that now there's not only one, but now three Muslim Americans serving in Congress, that our mere presence is going to be able to possibly break down any of these kinds of racialized, opinions, mm-hmm. this kind of Islamophobia that I do feel like is still very present on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, boy. Jake Tapper just recently asked her about that, too, about trying to flip the script.
Are you suggesting that Democrats who took issue with Congresswoman Omar's comments did so because of anti-Muslim bias?
I mean, I think that's part of it.
Of course. It's actually not our fault. It's your fault because you're Islamophobic for looking at our words and then calling us out for being anti-Semitic. It's actually pretty sad. President Trump even had to put some comments out. It was through the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. They even addressed this. This was just a couple of days ago.
The president has had and laid out clearly his position on this matter. Democrats have had a number of opportunities to condemn specific comments and have refused to do that. That's a question, frankly, I think you should ask Democrats what their position is, since they're unwilling to call this what it is and call it out by name and take actual action against members who have done things like this, like the Republicans have done when they had the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Steve King. And you saw the same thing. They come out and they separate themselves from the comments and they say, there's no room for this. But for whatever reason, when they call out the anti-Semitic remarks, they don't want to admit that they do have people in their party that are struggling with this sort of thing.
Look, the president's been an unwavering and committed ally to Israel and the Jewish people. And frankly, the remarks that have been made by a number of Democrats and failed to be called out by Democrat leadership is frankly abhorrent, and it's sad, and it's something that should be called by name. It shouldn't be put in a watered-down resolution. It should be done the way the Republicans did it when Steve King made terrible comments.
Oh, watered-down resolution, by the way. So Congress gets together and they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a vote to condemn all of this hate speech, you know, when you see these anti-Semitic remarks. Guess who voted against it? Well, Representative Omar, who's one of the people that gave the remarks out there, having an opportunity. Instead, they turn it around and say, no, the only reason you're doing this is because you hate us because we're Muslim. It's pretty sad, actually. So what does this mean for the Jewish community? What does it mean if you are someone that's here in the United States and you see these representatives speaking this way, and you are someone that's quite concerned because you have seen a rise in anti-Semitism in the United States? What do you do? How do you feel about this? We're going to talk to someone that you may have recognized through the major news networks. America's Rabbi R.E.A. Spiro is going to join us next on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is the spokesperson for the National Conference of Jewish Affairs, Rabbi R.E.A. Spiro. Thank you so much for coming on Overnight America.
Oh, the KMOX?
The KMOX, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I lived in St. Louis in 1972, and I used to always listen to KMOX.
Oh, is that right? 72 are some glorious years for KMOX. So what shows did you listen to?
I remember I lived in a place called University City.
Sure. Great area now, yes.
And Stratford, and near Clayton, Missouri. Missouri.
Right.
And I just knew that the KMOX, that was what you listened to. And then I would run in a place called Forest Park.
Sure. Forest Park, very popular and still very well loved in the area. One of those great worldwide attractions.
Almost 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's still there. Wow.
Yeah, Forest Park is the home of the zoo, which is free. Anyone can go in. There's no admission. The Science Center, which is free, no admission there. The History Museum, which is free. The Art Museum, which is free. And, of course, there's golf. And it's just a giant area. Apparently, square footage-wise, it's larger than Central Park. And it's just a wonderful thing to have here. It's just so wonderful.
And I went to Powell Symphony Hall.
Sure.
This is before Leonard Slatkin, way before.
Well, when did you move out of St. Louis?
I was just there for a year and a half. I was doing some studying. I was in my early 20s. I was doing some studying with a rabbi at the time, and he lived, it was technically Clayton, but I did a lot of things in University City. And then I did some work over at Wash U.
Oh, wow.
That's a really nice campus. Oh, beautiful place.
Still is one of those great universities, sure. It's a weird time we're living in. We see a new class of congressmen come in, and we're starting to see some of these really blatantly anti-Semitic remarks that would normally trigger condemnation, but you're not seeing that lately. And it's, to me, a little bit troubling. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you're seeing some of our leaders of our country saying, and maybe why you don't think some of the Democratic leaders are condemning them.
It's very troubling. This is all happening on the left side of the political spectrum, and it's happening within the Democrat Party. Democrat Party is dangerously every day creeping further left to the point that they're basically declared themselves socialists. Some of these folks are really at heart communists, don't kid yourself. They want to absolutely overturn everything in America. They don't want to transform us simply to Denmark or Sweden. That was 20 years ago. These people are calling for almost for absolute revolution. They would even abandon the Constitution. It means nothing to them. They are hardcore socialists. They're really communists. Part of that involves anti-Semitism and certainly anti-Israelism. If you're a socialist, you don't like anything that's distinct. You certainly don't like the Judeo-Christian ethos. You don't like things that are from the biblical foundations upon which the country was founded. They don't like Israel. It's a distinct country with a distinct culture, history, just like the United States of America is very distinct. We were founded on specific principles. So those, mostly those that want to transform America, they don't like Israel. They feel much more comfort with the Islamic world, with the socialist world, the communist world, and they're rearing their ugly head.
You know what is a little hypocritical to me is when we were talking about immigration and the president was trying to assess and part of his people were trying to assess how we're going to be able to handle people coming into the country. There are some dangerous areas in the world. And when he put a hold or a travel ban or at least some sort of we need to figure out how to assess the people that are coming into our country for years. I mean, since he's been in office, they called him anti-Muslim because of that. And they use that over and over and over again. But then when you have some really blatant anti-Jewish sentiments that come from their own people, they don't say a word. And they don't treat it the same way. You have one that's looking at, for example, national security. There wasn't really anyone that wanted to see certain people not allowed in this country if they're legally allowed in here. He just wanted to look at the security aspect of it. But then you have actual politicians that actually hate certain groups of people that they put their hands up and they don't say anything about it. That I don't understand that.
Well, the Democrat Party now is power obsessed. They want to win. They want the power. The people that are in the Democrat Party, be they in the Senate, or the Congress, the leadership, the DNC, the people down the road in the states, they want power. big time, and they'll do anything to get that power. And if they have to forego condemning anti-Semitism, if they even will live with anti-Semitism, they'll do it. If they can please, in this case, it was the Black Caucus that would not condemn anti-Semitism. It was the Progressive Socialist Caucus. When you say progressive, it means socialist. It was Cortez and her trio of women, or quartet of women, and it was the Muslim Care Coalition, basically. They said, no, we're not going to condemn Omar. We're not going to condemn anti-Semitism in and of itself. Matter of fact, we're going to take this whole incident that was based on anti-Semitic remarks, and what we're going to say is that we're condemning Islamophobia, saying that, really, if you criticize someone like Omar, even though you're really rightfully and justly criticizing her, because she did spew forth anti-Semitism, you can't do it. That's Islamophobia. So you're giving a free pass for a Congressman Omar or someone from the Islamic community to say anything they want, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-America, anti-Israel. You can't say anything. It's Islamophobic. The Democrats will put up with this. They'll accept that because they want the Islamic vote, the black vote. Listen, the Democrat Party is simply now a coalition of particular ethnic groups, grievance groups, anybody who's against the establishment. That's how they win, and that's more important to them. Winning, no matter how terribly, more important than stopping anti-Semitism. Mm. Oh, they'll stop anti-Semitism if it's from the right, because they want to stop something. But if it's from their precinct, then no. Then somehow they'll finagle. It's not really anti-Semitic. She didn't mean it. She didn't say it. She said it, but she didn't say it. You know, I can go through the... It's so false.
It's interesting, the point you made. And joining us is Rabbi Aryeh Spiro. And you said they spin it right back at you. So they'll say that by criticizing anti-Semitic comments, they basically throw it back at you and say you must hate her as a person of a certain nationality because you're criticizing that person. Nah, that's dangerous, too, the way that these things are spun. You know, you're also the National Conference of Jewish Affairs spokesperson. Well, so as the Jewish community, when you see these things and you see these comments come out, as a community, how should you react to that?
Well, how should we? We should react with anger, severe disappointment, and fight it. But we all know that there are vast segments within the Jewish community that are so tied to the Democrat Party, so tied to this liberalism, that they ignore it, or they too fall into this trap. Well, she didn't really say it, she didn't mean it, and if she said it, didn't mean it, she really... You know, every excuse in the book, because it's very hard for them to sever ties with the Democrat Party. That has been their support system, their identification since World War II. It's very hard for them to sever themselves from the liberalism. They grew up all believing that, you know, if you're a minority group, you're noble, you're wonderful, you have justification for your grievance, you've been oppressed. If you're from the white majority, oh, you're the people that are causing all the problems. They can't tear themselves away from that way of thinking. Mm. So we have a problem. Those in the Jewish community that are tied to liberalism and the Democrat Party, they refuse to see what is happening unfolding right in front of their eyes.
You know, it doesn't even have to be a political affiliation a lot of times, but you happen to just see it a lot when it comes to the modern Democrats. Just since this last midterm election that came through, and then you saw the rise in leadership, you see some of these comments that are coming through here. I never really thought I would see such blatant use of anti-Semitism when it comes to our political officials, but here we are. And when you see the tweets, and the other part of this is, once some of these comments come out, it's not that they feel like they need to explain themselves or apologize. They just say, no, it is what it is. You're the one that's the problem. And it's always a spin back. And it's never someone that is trying to actually, I guess, deny their comments. They stand by them for the most part.
That's right. And therefore they're enablers. Yeah. They allow it. They normalize it. They mainstream it. They enable it. These are the people that talk about tolerance and inclusion. And they point a finger at us for every type of ism. My goodness, we are guilty of racism and misogynism and homophobism and LGBTism and every type of ism, and they're practicing it now themselves. And it won't stop just with Jews, because we see in Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa, the Christians too, they're being killed. And if you stand up and you say, now, my goodness, there's genocide here through certain Islamic groups against whole Christian communities that have been around for 2,500 years. No, they accuse you of being anti-Islamic. This is how it works, though. There's now a hierarchy. And in the liberal world, there's nothing worse in their mind than being Islamophobic. So that is more important. You can allow anti-Semitism, and you can allow the genocide of Christianism. You can allow all of this before you are permitted to criticize it, because then you'll be guilty of Islamophobia. And in the liberal hierarchy, that's the greatest of all sins.
Right.
So we're going to see, unfortunately, a lot of this anti-Semitic rhetoric, anti-Christian rhetoric, just go freely spoken, and the people will be afraid. They'll be silenced because nobody wants to be called a name.
You know, and part of this, too, is you also see people challenging certain rights, and then they'll say, let's say you have religious liberties and you have religious beliefs, they'll say those are secondhand to other people's beliefs and other people's rights. So then you fight to see this hierarchy come out because of some of the things that are being set up here. You know, I wanted to talk about your book, Push Back. If people wanted to check it out, where can they find it?
Well, you can go to Amazon, and that's where you find everything today. You just brought up a very good point, though.
Yeah.
In the name of socialism, and they ensconce this stuff in the name of social justice. It's not social justice. Today, when they say social justice, it means socialism. It means social engineering. This is just a beautiful, lofty principle that they've co-opted. And I speak about this how in Pushback, how they've co-opted. They've exploited the language, the moral language, for their own benefit. And we've got to be very careful, because we get suckered into accepting whatever they say or do because they're doing it all in the name of social justice. These people want to destroy the one lifeline that we have, and that's called the Constitution. Without the Constitution, we have no America, and we ourselves have no protections. Mm-hmm. Our protections are the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They don't respect it. They don't respect the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Now they're even talking about getting rid of the Electoral College because they don't think they can win based on the Electoral College. We've got to protect the Constitution. We're dealing with Americans that I never thought would act this way, but they really don't revere our Constitution. They don't love America as it's been historically constituted, and now we even see that they'll countenance anti-Semitism if that's what they have to do to win.
Mm-hmm. Rights given by God, not to be taken away by man. And that's it's
right.
So important to remember that. Once we start to see politicians saying that we are in control of your rights, you got to be very concerned. If they're trying to say, you know, your rights for freedom of speech, freedom to worship the way you want to worship, freedom of press, things like that. When you start to see some of these people come through and say, well, it conflicts with other people's feelings because they don't like the way you're talking about this or that or whatever it may be, whatever the social thing is at the time that the politician on the left is trying to take advantage of, then you start to see that's how they open up that door to try to take away some of your rights, because they say it's not as important as maybe whatever the social justice thing is that we're trying to push. And that is so dangerous.
Exactly. As I say in the book, it was written a few years ago, our rights come from God, not Barack Obama. They come from God. They don't come from Hillary Clinton. And this is very dangerous. This country cannot be based simply on feelings of one group. I don't even mind feelings, but it's basically they only honor their feelings. They don't honor the feelings of 60 or 70% of the rest of America.
Yeah.
The trouble is here, most Americans are on our side. They believe, they revere the country, they believe in the Constitution. But the energy of the 25% or so on the left is such that they're overtaking us. We're sleeping, my friend. We're sleeping. We're not involved in activism. We're letting them run everything. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a lot of Republicans that we elect that are just faint of heart. They won't fight.
Yeah. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, your book is called Push Back. People can check it out. Or if they want to check out any websites, how can people find you?
You can go to Caucus for America, mm-hmm. www.caucusforamerica.com.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, America's Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on KMOX.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
He is on the GL International Realty guest line. On top of that, he's part of the National Conference of Jewish Affairs. It's interesting to see his take on some of these things that are being said. And wow, pretty strong spoken. You can, of course, get that on our podcast page when we post it here. Everything we do on air goes to KMOX.com/overnight. Oh, it's not this song. There's a couple of Rolling Stones songs that were inspired by Chuck Berry. I missed this anniversary date. It was 2 years ago, Chuck Berry passed. Of course, a landmark musician for this area. He passed away March 18th, 2017. And I remember, after he passed, listening to Charlie Brennan do the shows where people were calling in memories, and there were all kinds of other musicians that were calling in tributes to Chuck Berry. Of course, Charlie was a big proponent and a driver to get that statue of Chuck Berry put up. And well-recognized musician, well, a huge influential musician here from St. Louis, passed away in Wentzville, March 18, 2017. One of the memories I have of Chuck Berry passing away is I was en route to figure out where I was going to live, because back in that time frame, I was just accepting the job here at KMOX, and I was driving from Indiana to St. Louis and back to find a place to live because, you know, we had to move here to start the show, which essentially I only had a couple of weeks before that time happened, and I was doing a little bit of house hunting or apartment hunting or whatever it was at the time. So right around there, I was driving back and forth and back and forth. I wasn't staying here to find it. It's just, you know, I did my thing, and it was, you know, several hours, you know, 6 or 7 hours in a car there and back. All I knew was I didn't have a job. I had the time to do it. But one of the days I was driving in, I was listening to KMOX, and it was Charlie doing his tribute show for Chuck Berry. There was a blog post that was put up about songs that never would have existed if it wasn't for Chuck Berry. And I got to tell you, I never really knew the connections between some of these songs. So, for example, the Beach Boys, Surfing USA. And it's funny because some of these old songs, like this one came out in 1963. I should have picked up that this is very similar to Chuck Berry's song, Sweet Little 16. Like, listen to this. We'll do them. You see them wearing their baggies. You probably heard this song about a million times. A bushy, bushy blonde hairdo. All right, so that's Beach Boys. Here's Chuck Berry. They really rock it in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas and around the Frisco Bay. Yeah, very similar. In all of these musicians, they all always credit Chuck Berry. It's not like it's a giant secret, like, oh no, we came up with it on our own. Everyone used Chuck Berry as this giant influential figure in music, like even Bob Dylan. This might be the only time Bob Dylan has used someone else's music. Every other time, everyone steals from Bob Dylan, and this time around, you've heard Subterranean Homesick Blues. Great music video where he's standing there and he's holding the cue cards and he's like dropping the words as the music's playing by. John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. A man in a trench coat patch I laid off says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. All right, so that was 1965. Bob Dylan, who, what a dynamic figure Bob Dylan was. Later he became openly Christian, started recording Christian music, and everyone looked back at him and said, well, what's Bob Dylan doing? Good for Bob Dylan, man. Then Chuck Berry, that was based off of Too Much Monkey Business. I guess I hear it a little bit. Yeah, I can kind of see it. Of course, one of the famous Beatles songs. Back in the USSR. Maybe it wasn't directly using the same beat. And then, of course, Chuck Berry's Back in the USA. Goes and they do all the different places, and kind of cool, of course, ends up in St. Louis. You know, the weirdest one of them all, apparently Motorhead, a heavy metal band from the 80s, credits their inspiration to do their most popular song called The Ace of Spades. credits Chuck Berry. He says when he was a kid, he used to listen to Chuck Berry. His influence was undeniable. And if it wasn't for Chuck Berry and some of his music, this is the inspiration for his most famous song. Isn't that crazy? So this is Motorhead. Never would have thought the two. Another hour of Overnight America continuing next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.